Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Come on, give it up at all the campuses this weekend. We got all the students on stage today. We're going to have a great weekend. Look at your neighbor, whatever campus you're at, and say, you got blessed, you got to sit by me today. And I want to give a shout out to all our students. I have never been so impressed in my life, being pastoring for over 20 years now. We have got the greatest team raising up of young people I've ever seen from every campus. So would everybody at every campus give it up for all the young adults, all the students? We have fun. The reason why I played the Olaf clip was because how many of y'all have watched that movie, right? It's pretty cute, and he's unfamiliar that, like, he doesn't realize I'm a snowman. I'm gonna melt in summer. And I think right now here we are in the middle of July, and sometimes what we allow the enemy to do is kind of allow our dreams to melt. We get to thinking, well, if it's gonna happen, it'd happen by now. Seems like God would do it. He's not doing it. And then you have disappointments. Raise your hand if you've ever had a disappointment. I've noticed this, and you might want to write this down. A disappointment is actually an appointment. So if you can say, wait a minute, I'm disappointed in this, but God has something better for me, it really helps you when you have the heat basically hitting you as Olaf had it. You can either melt under it, or you can say, wait a minute, I'm going to renew my mind, which is what you chose to do today, and I'm going to focus on what God said during the disappointment and say, there's an appointment. Everybody shout, there's an appointment for me. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. You know the scripture, but put it on the screen everywhere. It says, for I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord. God said this. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God has a plan for us. He has thoughts for us, but then we have our thoughts. You've heard me say it a lot of times. I think the greatest fight to faith is the fight you fight to keep from fighting in your mind, because your mind gives you trouble. First of all, how many of y'all got a mind? Raise your hand, right? Look at your neighbor and say, my mind's bigger than your mind, right? So you got a big mind. And so your mind starts trying to rationalize lies that the enemy tells you. So I want to put a little context to it. When I was growing up as a child, my dad was a police officer in St. Louis, and then he decided, you know, he wanted to help people, so now he goes into the ministry, and he buys a travel trailer. In fact, on the screen, you'll see a little trailer sitting outside of a little whitewashed church, and that's me under the awning there with my little brother and my mom. We're in these churches, and they didn't have any money, and so you live by offerings, you know, but if they had no money, then you certainly didn't have any money. In fact, in some of the little towns, we loved being in Florida because we'd steal oranges from the orange grove. I don't think it's stealing, but we were taking them in there, right? So we were living by faith. I've told the story before. In that trailer, my dad would say, hey, did anybody give you any money? No, did anybody give you any money? And there's no money coming in because we don't have a job. We don't have health insurance. He's just living by faith. And so he would pray over food we didn't have. I remember sitting at the table as a little boy, and he said, God, we just pray over this bologna right now in the name of Jesus. And I always say, you know, if we're praying and pretending we're eating, why are we pretending we're eating bologna? Come on, somebody, let's have a steak. Let's have something good. But his mindset was wrong. And so when your mindset's wrong, your faith gets wrong, and basically, like Olaf, you begin to melt under the pressure, especially if you get a negative diagnosis. There's a lump. There's a cancer. There's a setback. There's a trial. And that's why the enemy comes in to try to steal the word that is sown in our heart. But today we're saying, God said. Who said it? The Lord said it. He said, I know the plans I have for you. They're for good, not for evil. Now, as my dad began to do what I'm doing with you right now, which is renewing our mind, basically he taught a concept, and he didn't call it this, but I'm going to call it this. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep the switch of faith turned on. So at your house, in fact, I think Hayden will help me right now. So flip that switch, Hayden. Okay, when he flips the switch, the lights goes out. That's pretty impressive. Hayden, turn it back on, okay? So Hayden flips it, and it comes back on. This is what the enemy does. You're never going to make it. Something bad's going to happen to you, and now the switch is flipped, and you're in the dark. Then all of a sudden, you hear the word. You go, wait a minute. I'll tell you right now, I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. God's going to do something good in my life, and we begin to reframe our thinking, and we begin to call things that we can't see into our visible world. Raise your hand if this makes sense to you today, okay? So now, just by the flip of a switch, by the command, I tell him to turn it back on, and he does it. You can do that in your own mind. And so what I want to really unpack today more than I normally do, especially with these students here, there's big decisions that they've got to make. Where am I going to go to school? What am I going to do with my life? Who am I going to marry? It kind of sucks that you got to make these life-altering decisions when you're really, really young. It'd be nice to take 20 or 30 years, and that's why a lot of times people make the wrong decision because you don't have enough skill and life set yet. Our students and young adults are different because they're hearing the word, they're getting in groups, and they're getting around other people and saying, wait a minute, you may get what you want, but you might not want what you get. And so they're not going after the flesh for the most part. They're going after the spirit. They're seeking God. They're listening to worship music. They're coming in and we're doing life together. Come on, one more time. Give it up for this elite group that we got going on here. So I want to talk about believing God and keeping the switch of faith turned on. Again, we're in the trailer. And then now we're believing the Lord for something good to happen. So my dad said, wait a minute. If I'm going to get a harvest, I have to sow a seed. So he thought, man, what do I have to give away? So he had a guitar because he played the guitar, and he gave the guitar away because he didn't have any money to give away, so he gave the guitar away. He said, God, I'm sowing this. What you sow, you grow. God, I'm sowing this as something good would happen to me. He gives the guitar away, and within about a 24-hour period, there's a knock at the trailer door where we live, and there's this guy. His name is Mr. Deathridge. I remember this because it was the first time ever. The guy comes and gives my dad a check for $500. Now, this is back in 78, 79. This is a $500 back then was probably like $10,000. How many of you take $500 right now? Raise your hand. I'd take $500 right now. But this was like $10,000. We come unglued, and what it did is it marked me to say when the lights were off. Come on, let's turn it off now. The lights were off. We're eating air bologna. It doesn't look like it's possible. My dad said, I'm going to sow a seed. When he sowed the seed and he started saying, I'm believing for a harvest, something good's going to happen to me. All of a sudden, now the lights come back on. Now, nothing has changed yet in the natural. Well, we don't have a check. The diagnosis hasn't changed, but something changed on the inside. And if you can see it, you can be it. And so now you're saying what you want to have. This is exactly what God demonstrated when he looked out and he said, let there be light. It was dark, and he said what he wanted to have. So you need to say, the right college is calling me. The right mate is on the way. God's favor is on my life. And you grow in that. And as you grow in that grace, something starts happening, and you start like David. Remember, he said, I killed the lion, I killed the bear, now I kill the giant, Goliath. So now we get this $500. We can't believe it. We're like, we're rich. Man, we went and we got groceries and we sowed more. My dad said, we can't eat all this seed. We got to sow more. And that's where the story comes that some of you hear where he started giving a dollar a day to a ministry and started believing God every day. He said, I need money every day, so I'm going to sow money every day. And that grew to $2 a day, $5 a day. And we begin to live with that switch of faith turned on. So the enemy's always trying to turn it off, but God wants to turn it on in your life. But really, it's up to you to say, wait a minute, I'm going to rise up, I'm going to engage, and I'm going to take the land. I want to go to Deuteronomy 2, verse 24. God speaking to them to cross over into the river. He said, rise up, take your journey, cross over the river, Aaron. Look, I have given unto your hand. And then he began to possess it and engage in battle. When you decide in your mind, and that's where you go first, where the mind goes, the man follows. You decide in your mind, I'm going to take charge of my life. I'm going to start listening to podcasts. I'm going to take the journey. I'm going to start saying things that my family never owned a home, but I'm going to own a home. My family went to college. I'm going to go to college. Or whatever it is that you're saying, man, there's something deep inside you. Anybody got something in your heart, a dream? You want to be famous. You want to be known. You want more likes. You want more influence. This is normal, but you have to take the land. You have to engage the battle for yourself. And you do it one victory at a time. By keeping the switch of faith turned on. Everybody shout that with me. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Come on. Keep it turned on. Now, let's go back there. We're in the trailer. And now it's cold and we're in Ohio. And I don't have a coat. It's super cold. It's so cold you just can't even believe it. And I don't have a coat. And I was standing outside of this church, because we had church every night of the week. And somebody came up to me and said, why don't you have it? You forgot your coat. And I said, I don't have a coat. Because I really didn't have a coat. Then I started believing God, and this is where I want you to get. I start believing God for a coat. So your faith grows just like muscles grows. Look at your muscles and shout, they're gonna grow, okay, right? So your muscles grow by resistance. Time under tension, that happens. Same thing with the spirit world. So I start believing God for a coat. Now, when I believe God for a coat, the first thing my dad says, remember when I gave away the guitar? I said, yeah. He said, what do you have right now that you could give away to somebody else? See, I'm growing in faith. I'm keeping the switch of faith turned on. And so I went into my little part of the trailer and I got some stuff that I don't want. I don't like it. I'm giving that away. I hate that. And my dad said, okay, let's give that away. So you're sowing that. So seed produces like seeds. So if you plant corn, you get corn. If you plant tomatoes, you get tomatoes. So he said, go ahead and give that away so that way you get a bunch of junk you don't like. I'm like, well, no, I don't want to do that. He said, okay, then go back in there and get something that you do like. So I went back in and got something that I liked and I gave it away. Well, then I didn't tell anybody in the natural, like, hey, I want a coat or here. And we traveled all around all the time. We didn't really know anybody. We'd go from town to town. The next city that we go in, this lady comes in. Her name is Betty. Betty Sims. And Betty Sims comes to my dad and says, hey, I've got something I want to give your son. She brings in this trash can, this beautiful trash can. And when I open up the trash can, it's gifts for me and my brother. And the first thing that I pull out is a coat. Now, don't laugh at me at this because it was in style back then. But it was a coat and the sleeve zipped off. So it was a coat and then it was a vest. Anybody know what I'm talking about right now? Some of you don't. You Google it. Check it out. You were a bad mama jam if you had this coat. You were one cool cat. And so, man, there it is. It's a coat or it unzips. And then now I look in there and there's another coat. This coat is like, older people are going to know what this coat looked like. It was like blue and had orange on the inside and had fake fur on the outside. Again, you could probably Google it and find that coat, okay? But I couldn't believe it. I sowed a seed, kept the switch of faith turned on, and then the next thing I know, I don't just have one coat, I got two coats. Are y'all follow me right now? So now today, fast forward. In fact, I don't want to fast forward so fast because I don't want to get you confused by the level are the weight that we're able to lift today. Now let's just fast forward to a bike. How many of you have ever heard my orange bike story? You know, I'm believing God for a bike, don't have any money for a bike, and then I'm praying. My dad says, oh gosh, how in the world am I gonna get him a bike? Because he didn't have any money. But we prayed the prayer of faith. We kept the switch of faith turned on. Now my dad, turn that off for a second. My dad's like, oh, it's not gonna work. We don't even have money for baloney. That $500 is gone. It's over. I can't buy him a bike. But then all of a sudden, I kept praying, so I kept my lights on. I'm gonna get a bike. So my dad goes out and he goes, quick story, I'll make it fast. He goes to a junk store, he buys a bike for $10. You know it's a junky bike for $10, right? He pulls up to the trailer, he gives me this bike, it is green, it's got rust on it, the banana seat's ripped, the foam's coming out of the top. And my dad said, there's your bike. And I go, that's not my bike. My dad said, there's your bike. I'm like, that's not my bike. And you remember, my dad's a cop, right? So he's kind of aggravated since birth. Like his dog didn't have fleas, it had harness, right? So he's like, that's your bike, boy. He began to pull off his belt like he's gonna whip me. And all of a sudden I saw it his way. I'm like, okay, that's my bike. Now watch this. Because I kept the switch of faith turned on, we go to the next town, and the next town, a couple days into it, a guy knocks at the trailer door, and he says, Brother Crank, would you come down to my house? It's a couple doors down, and I went with my dad, and as we're walking up the stairs to the house, he said, my dad owned the local Western Auto, and he closed it down and retired, and he sold everything, but there's one thing he didn't sell, and I thought that your son might like it. And I had prayed, God, give me an orange bike with high handlebars and banana seat, chrome fenders. And he opens up the closet and he rolls out my bike. There's my orange bike with the high handlebars, the banana seats on it. I'm losing my mind. My dad goes, kick me. I'm here to tell you that I kept the switch of faith turned on and I got the bike. I don't know what you're believing God for this weekend. Maybe it's a car. Maybe it's an opportunity. Maybe, I don't know what it is, but I know God said, it was the top of the scripture, I know the plans I have for you. They're for good and not for evil, to bring you to an expected end. So you keep the switch turned on, and what it does is it gives you history or his story. And you're saying, wait a minute, if God gave me the coat and God gave me the bike, now there's a million other things I believe God for, but how many are interested in these stories? Come on, raise your hand if these stories help you, okay? So now, I'm possessing the land, keeping the switch of faith turned on. My faith is growing in stages. I'm not settling for the green bike. I'm appreciative But I'm not going to settle, because when you settle, all of a sudden now your life gets blurry and you think, oh, in the natural, you naturalize with your natural eyes. That's just the way it's going to be. That's all I can afford. And you should be thankful. This is all I can afford right now. I'm not going to gripe at my parents. I'm going to be thankful. But I know that I'm called for more. I'm equipped for more. I'm going to live the life of destiny. I'm going to speak over my preferred future. I'm going to be it. God works all things together for my good. Because, you know, what I don't realize is that God was setting me up and he was building my spiritual muscles. Now, my natural muscles, they're nothing to brag about. But if you could see me on the inside, I'm swole. I'm huge. Because I've grown in this grace. And your faith is growing today. In that high school, in Ferguson, Florissant, in Weldon, whatever campus you're at, Earth City, Sunset, you're there and your faith is growing. You can't see it, but you will be able to see it later. These stories, I think, illustrate in my life what God can do in your life. Now, fast forward, I'm going to be 16. Remember when you were praying, God, I want to be 16. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm going to be able to drive. And you're like, oh, man, I want to drive in St. Louis. You're 16, you can drive. So I'm believing God now, and there's been a lot of phases that I'm believing God for stuff, and now I'm praying for a car. I said, God, I thank you, Lord. You gave me a bike. You gave me the coach. You gave me this. I'm going through all the stuff, because once you cross one level and you get to another level, you know if he did it once, he can do it again, and now you have faith in your ability to believe God. Raise your hand if that makes sense, okay? You all follow me right now? So you're like, okay. Yeah. And by the way, this doesn't work for you because you're a preacher's kid. Doesn't work for you because you're educated. Doesn't work for you tall, short. God's a faithful God. He'll do it for anybody that'll work it. It's like gravity. You could jump. Anybody on this stage could jump off of it, and you're going to fall. It's just gravity's not partial. If you jump off here, what goes up must come down. So the same thing with the life of faith. So now I'm going to be 16. So I go to God, and I start saying, God, I thank you, Lord, I'm going to get a car. And I start praying for a car. And then I started sowing seeds for a car. I mean, I didn't have a lot of money, but the money that I got from raking leaves or doing other things, I start tithing off that money. I start giving off that money. Start praying and start dreaming. Again, have a vision board. Without a vision, you perish. So I had a vision board, and I was praying for this certain car. It was a Trans Am, 1985 Trans Am. Praying for it. And my dad had told me for a long time, like, when you turn 16, I'm going to help you get a car. And then right before, guys, just a few months before, my dad, who never really lied to me, comes to me and says, hey, I'm not going to help you get a car. I was so mad at him. I thought, oh, my gosh, what a liar. I can't believe it. I'm disappointed. Because my faith was in my dad instead of my faith being in my father. Y'all following that? But my dad knew I can't have him looking to me because I won't always be here. I got to get him looking to him. So the only way I could do that, now my faith went away. Hayden, turn it off. Man, my dad's not going to help me. I can't believe it. I'm just mad. You ever went to your room and you're just mad? You ever went to your room and you're like, shut the door, slam the door. Can't believe it. My parents, right? And then all of a sudden now I realize, wait a minute. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep my faith high. If God did it once, he'll do it again. If God did it before, he'll do it again. So I start praying and asking God to help me. And then long story short, to make it really quick, there's a lot of details to the story. There's a guy from a distant city who's a businessman who comes to visit my dad at Sunset Hills. We lived in 9321 Lincoln. This guy come in. He was incredibly successful. He wrote a bunch of hit songs, and my dad's career was going pretty good. And in fact, the guys from Sanford and Son, you guys won't remember this, but there was a show called Sanford and Son, and the big dummy, Damond Wilson, was one of my dad's good friends. He was at our house all the time. My dad's doing good. And this one guy who, like my dad, said, hey, I got something I want to bless David with. And he gives my dad a check for $15,500. That's the exact price of the Trans Am on South Lindbergh at Dondar Pontiac. It's not there anymore. The building's still there, but it's a Chevrolet dealership now. And so that day, that guy gave my dad the check. My dad, who said he couldn't give me a car, my father supernaturally touched somebody else's life, and then now a check comes in for $15,500. They'll put it on the screen for you. Look at my feathered hair. Come on. Look at the feathered hair on this guy. Look at the red paint. Look at the hood. I'm here to tell you that it works. It worked for me, and it'll work for you. Come on, one more time. Give it up for God. I'm not saying these things to impress you. I'm here to say that keep the switch of faith turned on. I like Zig Ziglar's quote. He said, it's not where you come from, it's where you're going that counts. I came from poverty, praying for socks, praying for a bike, praying for bologna. Now let's fast forward. Acts 10:34. It says, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Some of you today at campuses are going, well, look at him. God did it for him because of what? I've been betrayed, hurt, lied on, divorced, sin, stupid. When I say I believe God for all this stuff, there was times in my life where I did stupid stuff. Anybody like me did stupid stuff. God can't forgive me. I won't forgive me. First of all, you got to forgive you, because the first thing that happens when you do something dumb is the lights go out. Bam. Now you're in darkness, and now the enemy comes in darkness. He dwells in darkness. You're like, screw it. I'll just do whatever I want to do. And you give up on your dreams, and you give up on your hopes, and then you go ruin your life. Instead, you go, wait, no, I got to keep the light on, because when the light comes on, the darkness flees. And then, you know, when you're in the dark, you bump into stuff. But the Bible said the entrance of his word brings light. They'll put that scripture on the screen for you. The entrance of his word brings light. So the more light you get, which is happening to you right now, the more faith you're getting, then this scripture, Acts 10:34, kicks in and says, I perceive that God shows no partiality. God is not a respecter of persons. He does respect faith, though. So you can't live on my faith. You can't live on my stories. These stories should inspire you to say, wait a minute, if he did it for him, he'll do it for me. And then you keep the switch of faith turned on, because you can't live off your grandma's faith. You can't live off your friend's faith. You can't live off yesterday's faith. You got to say, today is the day that I'm going to take my life back. I'm going to get on the right track. And if God can do it for me too. You grow your own faith through resistance. Now fast forward. At the campuses that you might be in today, in fact, I think we'll put it on the screen so you can see it. All the churches that you see, I mean, you see Earth City, 177,000 cars drive by a day. The taxes on the building are $1,100 a day. Sometimes the electric bill is $25,000 and $30,000 a month on these buildings. The high school you're sitting at, the rent on the high school is $13,000 a month. All the bills, the asphalt that has to be repaired, the roofs that have to be repaired, $6 million a year in staff, air baloney, living in a trailer. I had to learn to lift it. If you'd have put that load on me way back when, even when I first started 20 years ago, I would have freaked out because I didn't have the faith for it. I had let some of the things that happened to me define what could happen through me. I was looking at what, you know, God, I could probably do this, but he can't do that. And like Olaf in summer, the heat comes and now I'm melting under the pressure instead of saying, wait a minute, I'm going to possess the land. I'm going to engage the battle. I'm going to keep dreaming. My miracle is in motion. I don't get what I deserve, I get what he deserves, and I'm going to speak over my preferred future. That's right. I like preaching with these guys and girls. So now, it takes $300,000 a week to make this thing go. $300,000 a week to do the buildings and pay the bills. And if I lay in my bed at night and I think about that, I think about $18 million worth of debt. And think about it. I go, wait a minute. Where God guides, he provides. And I never asked for this anyway. God grew my faith with the socks. Grew my faith with the coat. He grew the lion, the bear, then the Goliath. And so right now, you think that you're going through a hard time. You'll look back later in life and think, that was nothing compared to what I'm believing God for now. But you'll have the confidence to do it. Because here's the kicker. When you know who you are, and you know how to get it, and you know that your faith has got it, then you're not looking to them, you're looking to him. I'm gonna say that again. You're not looking to them, you're looking to him. You're not looking to the government. You're not looking to the Fed to lower the rates. You're not looking to the stock market. You're not looking to Wall Street. You're looking to God. He is the one who's gonna supply everything that you need. He's the one that's gonna fix the cancer. He's the one that's gonna change your life forever. One last passage I want to read in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. It said, and the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, see now the place where we dwell is too small for us. And I prophesy over you that where you're at right now is too small for you. You're thinking too little. Think bigger. Look at your neighbor and say, think big. He said, please let us go over to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there. And that we may dwell there. So he said, okay, let's go. Then one said to the other, please consent to go with your servants. And he said, okay, I'll go. So they went out, and when they came to the Jordan, they were cutting down trees. Notice, they had to do the work. They had to cut down the trees. They had to listen to the podcast. They had to do the exam. They had to go on the job interview. But as soon as one was cutting down the tree, the iron axe head that they had in the boat fell in the water, and he cried, and he said, oh, it was borrowed. And then the man of God said, where did it fall? Notice there's direction that comes from a man of God. Right now, you're hearing direction and correction for your life. You learn these things on this weekend in the middle of July. You're going to be able to apply it in your life immediately on Monday. He said, where did it fall? And what is so crazy, this is a total miracle, because, I mean, what does it matter where it falls? And he took two sticks together, like that works. Takes two sticks, holds it over to the water, and then the axe, it's the first reverse mortgage ever. It floats and it comes back up. That was a supernatural miracle when he was connected to a man of God who gave him direction and correction, and God did a miracle. But notice also, he cried because that it was borrowed. Notice this, that many times we cry because it's borrowed, because it didn't really belong to you. That's what I'm saying again with the faith. When you keep the switch of faith turned on versus off, let's turn it off one more time so we can demonstrate that. That's off. Now you're saying, well, it's just over. It's borrowed. It fell. It's over. But you say, wait a minute. I'm not borrowing it. Where God guides, he provides. I'm going to increase my faith. And yes, it fell down. But then there's people in my life, and that's where groups come in, that say, where did it fall? And they pray for you. And basically, they elevate your thinking, and they elevate your life, and they allow your dreams to become realities again. And so, you know, after that, it floats, and the supernatural thing happens. When I think about all the different campuses that you might be sitting at today, at Royal Palm, think of this one. Another supernatural story. That campus is right there in a beautiful area across from the lake. The ball field's in the back. It's an amazing thing. And I started praying because God led me and said, someday you're going to have a church in Florida. And then I go down there and I don't know but one guy. His name is Dennis. You're going to start a church? You know one guy? In fact, that guy doesn't even go to our church. But I went down there because there was a word from God. And then all those things I told you in my past that led me to go, if God did it before, he'll do it again. And then I start trusting this inner witness that's verified with the word of God. And I was led. I want you to shout that with me. I'm led. Shout this. Say, I'm always at the right place. At the right time. I am never at the wrong place at the wrong time, where there's a shooting, where there's terror, where there's a setback, where there's catastrophe. No, I'm at the right place at the right time. I'm in it to win it. And so I went down there and God just led me. And I close with this. We just saw that they said, I've got to go out and I've got to cut down the tree. I've got to go on the job interview. I've got to have the vision board. I'm going to get my life in gear, and I'm going to engage my mind. I'm going to engage my mouth. When they begin to do that, their life changed. And the same thing happened with me when I went to Florida. I was led, Holy Ghost story, to a building. I went in and looked at it, and I was looking around. There was it was a vacant building, and the real estate guy was showing it to me. And I knew in here, listen here, in here you usually know. Not supposed to go out with them. This is the right car. This is the right job. There's a still small voice inside you, okay? And I went in and I knew it wasn't the building, but there was a pile of keys on the floor. And I said, is that trash? He said, yes. I said, do you mind if I take a set of those keys? I just felt it in here. He said, sure. So I just randomly picked up a pile of keys, put it in my pocket. I go back to my house a couple days later. They're in Florida, Two City Plaza, overlooking Flagler. And I'm there and I feel the Lord tell me, get those keys out. So I got the keys out. When I opened up the keys, there were five keys on there. Five means grace and favor. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's five keys. It just randomly, it said Royal Palm Beach, Florida, Royal Palm Beach Locksmith, Royal Palm Beach Boulevard. Didn't think, that means nothing to me either. Now I'm praying and praying and praying. I go to the high school where some of you are sitting today. I go to the high school and I say, someday God's going to give us a church in Florida, or not a church, an office in Florida, and it's going to have a room in it, maybe an office, the building that has a room that can seat like 120 people or something like that, so we could have meetings. And there was a guy in the building that owned a building. But he was looking around the high school at how big it was and thought this church would never want that building. Come to find out, he had bought a church. Weird business deal. He comes up to me the next Sunday and says, hey, I got a building that if you guys wanted it, you could have it. I paid like $1 million for it. The answer is yes. Come on, somebody. The answer is yes. He said, if you guys want it, I'd give it to you. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, watch this. I go, where's it at? And they'll put it on the screen. Where I picked up the keys is way, way over near Riviera Beach. I'm like 40 minutes away And I pick up these keys that say, I said, where's it at? He said, it's in Royal Palm Beach, Florida. Wow, the keys say Royal Palm Beach, Florida. I said, what's the street? He said, Royal Palm Beach Boulevard. The locksmith was on the other end of the street where the church is at. You can't make this stuff up. I got the keys today in my office. We'll put the keys on the screen so you can see it. I'm just here to tell you, these are supernatural moments. Anybody ever had a supernatural moment? Okay, if you haven't, I'm telling you, you start expecting it. You get what you expect. You get what you brag on, not what you nag on. So start saying, you know what? I'm expecting supernatural opportunities. I'm expecting a check in the mail. I'm expecting to do what God's going to do for me, what he did for PD. Again, he's not a respecter of persons. He'll do it for you. Raise your hand today if you learned something, if it helped you today. I want to pray for you before we go. I didn't say these things today again to, and I thought about it while I was preaching. You know, I got a brain. Raise your hand if you think I got a brain. And my mind was kind of going, am I telling too many stories? But I really felt like I was supposed to tell these stories almost like windows in a house. It would let light in. And the Bible said the entrance of his word brings light. We said that earlier. Then he said this, and he said, whatever we ask for in prayer, that God would give it to us. So I want you to start praying. Students, young people, old people, whoever, whatever age, it doesn't matter. You start praying. God, I think I got a vision board. Picture yourself healed. Picture yourself married, if that's what you want. Picture yourself an overcomer. Picture yourself healed, not frail. You're strong. And when you say that out of your mouth every day, you'll begin to attract that into your life. People say all the time, you know, if it's something bad's going to happen, it's going to happen to me. Well, that's going to happen to you. You know what? You know, my memory's just gone. It's just, you know, start saying the memory of the righteous is blessed. And when you say that, automatically in your brain, you start producing it. And then as you learn the word of God, it starts releasing your faith. And then you'll go around blessed and favored and strong and healthy and happy. And that's contagious. It'll go off and spread to all the other people. Father, I pray right now that you move in and out every row and up and down every aisle. God, I pray that right now that you would inspire people to say, wait a minute, what do I need to do? What's my next step? Maybe I need to go to Growth Track. I need to fill out that connect card that they keep pushing me to fill out so I can connect with God, connect with people, and discover my purpose and make a difference. God, I speak to every distraction that the enemy has put upon them and tried to distract them. That God, that distraction is gone today. That they're going to focus on the rest of the week, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, in the middle of July, in the middle of the summer, they're going to say, I'm going to press like the woman with the issue of blood. I'm going to press through this problem, and I'm going to actually go to this next plateau, and the next plateau, and the next plateau. I'm going from glory to glory, faith to faith, and victory to victory. I release my faith on that right now. And God, I pray for all of our students and young adults that are here on stage with me today, and all of them in the crowd today at all of our campuses. I rebuke Satan and his power over their life. I thank you, Lord, that they're on fire for God right now, but they're going to experience a newfound freedom and expectation. They're going to live in the best. They're going to drive the best. If they choose to go to college, they're going to go through. And if they end of college, it's going to be paid off. They're not going to live under the oppression of student debt loans. They're going to be elevated to positions of power. God, I thank you that these students here at our church, at all campuses, they're going to be writing the songs. They're going to be producing the movies. They are influencers. They're going to impact the nation. They're going to take territory because they're called, equipped, and anointed. I pray that over our churches here and in Florida and Illinois, on our church family online. I release it now. I'll say that as we get ready in a few weeks to bless them at our Rev event, God, as we anoint them with oil, God, at that moment, during that service, that they'll bring their friends, that we're going to pray even over teachers and principals, that our schools are not full of terror, they're full of the Holy Spirit and full of power and demonstration in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give the Lord a hand for today's word. That's good.